no one had entered that many Olympic chariot teams, and this is all done in the sort of the style of the patronage for Kimon, but everything Alcibiades did as patronage for a city also redounded to the credit of Alcibiades. So he's a remarkably controversial figure. By 30 years of age, he had dabbled in the sophistic movement, the intellectual movements of Athens. He was linked to Pericles. He was known for his outrageous lifestyle, accused of impious actions. You know, he later parodies the Eleusinian Mysteries. He's a lot like those British clubs in London in the 18th century, you know, running around, carrying out black masses and doing all sorts of naughty things they shouldn't do. In any event, he's an absolutely outrageous figure. And above all, he was an aristocrat. He was from a great family. Alcibiades takes it upon himself to oppose Nicias in peace. And he easily can outtalk Nicias in the assembly. In 420 BC, a critical point comes in which the Spartans send a mission to Athens to explain all of the problems over the prisoners, Panactum, why the Peloponnesians don't follow the peace of Nicias. And this effort in the spring of 420 BC was apparently a good faith effort on the part of most Spartans to negotiate out of the problems arising over the last year and to implement the peace. Significantly, these envoys, when they arrived in Athens, did not seek out Nicias, but sought out Alcibiades. And the reason for that is Alcibiades was the proxenos of Sparta. He was known to be critical of the peace and yet at the same time had these ties. And they went to Alcibiades hoping if he could be courted and won over to this position, that the assembly would settle or at least iron out the points of dispute in the peace, those terms that had not been implemented, and repair relations between Athens and Sparta and avoid an outbreak of war. Well, Alcibiades duped these guys. He actually convinced them to go before the assembly and claim they were a preliminary embassy without powers to negotiate, when it was quite the opposite. These envoys could have negotiated anything in the name of the Spartan people. And the reason he said this is that it was a tactical device. It would be better if they acted as preliminary and Alcibiades would support them because there were so many critics running around. You just don't know what these clowns are going to say in the assembly, guys like Phyax and the like. Well, what happened is the Spartans agreed to this, and when they claimed they didn't have full powers in the assembly, Alcibiades immediately turned on these guys and said that Sparta was not serious. They were shocked. Many Spartans never forgave Alcibiades on this. He went back on his word, and the Athenian assembly just dismissed him out of hand, and Alcibiades then immediately introduced the second set of people he was entertaining in Athens, and those were the envoys from Argos, Elis, and Mantinea, who showed up and said, wouldn't Athens like to join our alliance? And the Athenian people at this point said yes. They voted an alliance to join these three city-states who had been moved into alliance by Corinth the year earlier. A truly bizarre turn of events. Thucydides records the treaty. It stipulates that any member of the alliance, this quadruple alliance, could evoke the other three to come to the aid should they be attacked. It was an alliance separate from, but clearly out of, that whole deal that Corinth had put together a year earlier. And the Argives, Mantineans, and Elians wanted that Athenian aid because their intention was to attack Sparta. What Alcibiades had done within less than a year had put the Athenian people in a really bizarre situation. They had a treaty and a 50-year alliance with Sparta, and at the same time they had alliances with two ex-Peloponnesian allies, plus Argos, whose avowed purpose was not revealed, but everyone could essentially agree would lead on a collision course with Sparta. So Athens had treaty obligations with the two potential belligerents in the Peloponnesus, and it would take a great deal of talking on the part of Alcibiades to make sure that the Athenian public stayed on the side of Argos rather than Sparta in any of these disputes. Well, the Spartans were quite surprised, probably outraged, confused over this turn of events in Athens. And by the summer of 420 BC, a series of inconclusive border clashes resulted between the Argives and the Spartans, particularly over the city of Epidaurus and the Peloponnesus, and border clashes around Mantinea. And the new or the younger king in Sparta, the Eurypontid king, Agis II, was put in charge of Spartan and Peloponnesian armies to battle the Argives over these border disputes.